Don't keep away from that child. You try to go and grab that child. So that's what the tomb is, that's what his place is. Why do we come here? Why do we sit here? Why do we walk up the seclusion hill, and why do we tread the path that he had taken? Because every footstep is there, you see, is charged, you see. Yeah. Everything that when he comes in our midst as man amongst man, that is there. But when he is not there, then everything that he has created is also charged with it. So what about that? But we won't be able to imagine that, we won't be able to grasp that, oh, that we take it for granted, you see, because it has lasted so long and all that. But this is something new, and now we go after him, the trail that he has taken and all that. That's how it is. Otherwise, anything and everything is nothing but a reminder to remember him. All this in creation is for man. This creation is as a reminder to remember him. That's what Baba told us.
Yeah, a few minutes ago you were talking about, you know, the humdrum life, kampan, the people living here, you know. So it would seem that the solution to the relationships of the people who are living here instead of, would be more longing for him. That's the real solution, rather than all this discussion of
Of trying. Not just the people living
here.
Everybody.
I mean, that's, it's compared to all this talk of adjustment and relationship and all this sort of thing.
The simple thing is so simple, Baba has made it so simple. Says, what happens when you live the life? You get yourself lost in life. Instead of trying to find yourself in life, you get yourself lost in life.
Lost in it, yeah.
That's why he said, what I want you is to be in the world, but be not of it. But what happens when we are in the world, we become of it. But he says, don't be of it, be in it. So that's why we lose ourselves, and that's why life becomes humdrum then. Even though we come for seeking for him and all that, we somehow or other fail to be not of it. We get ourselves established, we must have a house, we must have an air conditioner, we must have proper electrification, we must have this, we must have cushions, we must have fans when it is hot, this, all this but accept him. That's what he says. Beware of it. Why? Because gradually you tend towards feeding yourself with your wants and lose your real need.
Harris, do you remember that story of Ramakrishna tells of there's a beggar who he's got a langoti and
that's a funny story. Well, the simple story is this, Raj, that there was a master, and the master had a real disciple who longed for the truth, and he kept him under his wings, the master kept him under his wings for long many years, and then he took him out one day to a certain spot in a forest area, and says, now, you be here till I come back. And just remember me. Continue to remember me. So he goes, master goes away. Now this fellow is continuing, because of master's orders, he is living there. Instead of staying there now, he has started to live there naturally. Living what? Under the shade of a tree. But because of inclement weather and all that, he creates a little hut of the twigs and branches and all that, and love some shelter and all that. And all the clothes that he had gradually were in shreds now. The last thing that he thought of having is, well, what to do with that? He tears them and makes them into langoti. It's a T-shape, that little strip of cloth. And that's the only thing left for him now. And he goes out to the nearby villages and begs for food and all that. And then, while going out, naturally, he washes his little strip of cloth that is there still, and comes back and puts there to dry up. And then he sustains himself through begging and all that. When he goes there, one day he comes and he finds that his langoti has been eaten up by rats or something like that. So he goes out begging that the only langoti I had has been eaten up. Give me some. People started giving him langoti. What is there to give him? He's a good person, holy man. But how long? Every time the langoti is there, is eaten up. I mean, all the holes are put there and all that. So one of them suggested, Guruji, means revered one, there is a simple solution to it. Why don't you have a cat if the rats are... But I don't have it. So somebody gave him a bhiksha, a cat. Now for cat, he has to go out, not only beg for his food, but naturally the cat saved the situation. He did not beg now for the piece of cloth, but now he has to beg for milk. So he goes out. How long is he going to beg for milk? Milk is something which, well, once, twice, thrice, 1 month, 2 months. So every day somebody suggested, Guruji, you have a cat that has gotten rid of the rat, no doubt. But for the cat, you need to have a cow. He says, yeah, that's right, good idea. And so, naturally, he got a cow. All the people, villagers gathered together, get good riddance, you see. He comes every day for a cup of milk and all that. So have a cow there. So he'd milk the cow and give the milk to cat. Cat was happy. He was happy and fine. But then, the pastures were gradually dwindling in the summer months. So what to do? So he went out to beg for, you know, a bush of greenery or sheaf of kadba and all that, so the fodder for the cow. And he went on, they were supplied and they got fed up and says, oh Guruji, what we'll do is we'll have a plot for you. And then you grow some vegetables also and feed the cow and grow grass and all that. So he liked the idea very much. And he started tilling the ground and sowing the seeds and had a field there and made a good living there. Then it is so abundant because of the virgin soil that he had to go and sell it in the market. So he started selling. And then he got into the habit of bargaining and this and that. And he made money from it. And then all that he... Naturally, he needs to have a store, so he built a barn out of it and this and that. It went on for years together. Then when the barn was there, all sort of comfort is there. The cow is there for the milk and the cat is there and all this paraphernalia is around him. Then naturally, he thought of a life which is quite opposite to his life. He built a little cottage for himself. And he's there. And he's having a good life. Worth living, as he called him. And he remembers his guru and all that, he's there. But when the guru came, after 20 years, he did come back to that spot where he had left his chela, means his disciple. And he lost sight, because having this farm there nearby, having his cottage there, having a barn there, the workers are there, so they build their huts and all that, that spot is lost. So he seems to have lost the place. So he, in his bewilderment, he goes on inquiring, says, you remember that some time ago I had a disciple and who lived here and all that. Where is that spot? Where was he? Is he still alive or dead? He says, sir, he is in that big cottage that is there. And he goes there, and when he sees his master, he gets a shock. He immediately realizes what he has done. He falls at his feet, Master, save me from this. That's the story. How we get embroiled and one after another. A simple thing like a piece of little cloth. To save that cloth, we had to have a cat. And to save the cat, we had to have a cow. Save the cow, have a plot of land. It goes on. This is Maya. Again, the same.
God has made the world like that, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is there. But he has made it in order to give a greater thought to all this that he has made. You have to realize, become aware of it. His ways are such that he ties you on the plank. This is Hafiz's words. He ties you to a plank and throws you in the mid-ocean and commands you not to wet yourself. That are his ways. Yeah.
My version of the story is that he hires a young lady to help him milk the cow and falls in love with her, and then they have three children.
Oh, yeah, you can expand the story. Yeah, yeah.
Make it more interesting.
Yeah. Make it more. entertainment.
A little masala.
Yeah. But Deborah, that is the world, eh? Whatever you may say or think about it. World is like that. It's ever expanding, never ending. I still remember Baba's own sister-in-law. You know Pareen in Pune? Did you visit her? You didn't visit that place. Baba house? Why?
We have never met
them. So why not? It's all open to everybody there.
The hours are given. Welcome home.
Okay, so Pareen was there. I was young. She was. She's of my age. Means Baba's sister-in-law. So, you know the twins, the two nephews of Baba, huge. They were babies. They were born, just born, you see. And you know how a mother, when she has twins, the botheration and all that. So she is rocking the cradles, and then I pay a visit to her. And I said, Parinmai, what are you doing? He says, oh, these little kids, you know, they never stop crying. I don't know. You feed them and they're always hungry and this and that and all that. I said, yeah. Once they grow up, you know, I'll be free of all this worries. They grew up. They grew to be healthy twins, you see. And then the worry was to get them admitted into a school. So somehow or other we got them admitted through great difficulty and they were in school. He says, when they finish the schooling, all my worries will be over. And when they finish the schooling, then they must learn some art, you see, to earn money. And that was the difficulty. Baba is still with us, right? So, yeah. So, every time I go there, now are you worry less, feel free? No, but I just want them that they should earn and all that. They got a job. They were earning. Now, when I go to Pune sometimes, now Parinmai, the twins have grown up, they had their education, they have some skill in their hands, they are having a job. Now you are... No, but one thing is there. I want, before I die, I must see them get married and settle. All right, they got married. Then the difficulty of house was there. They got a house. You know, now it's all right, no, Parinmai, it's finished now. You know how we are, you know, we just as we had children, I would like to see my sons having a child, you know. So if they have one issue, then it's finished now. They have their children there and the why is still continuing. There's no end to it all. No end to this ever expanding creation.
I just said about needs and wants.
Well, need is, real need is there. Wants are many, but you don't need it and yet you want to have it, isn't it? There's a certain thing, there's a difference between need and want.
No, but in this anecdote that you gave of that ascetic for the langoti, he had to keep the cash.
Yeah.
Where the need ends and where the, I mean, where the need ends and want starts in that?
The need was there. Yeah.
Throughout it was need only.
Throughout it was need, yeah, that's true. But he need not have needed that. The moral is that he need not need such things, you know, because he had turned his back on life and he had become a disciple. He simply had to go there, like was put and come back. And suppose if he had no piece of cloth left now, so he could have wandered naked. And suppose if people had stoned and he died, so what? One has to die someday. So to that degree, the longing for the truth should be there. It always points to that, you see, yeah. But we always look for the saving grace. So what were you saying? You need? Yeah, there's a difference between want and need. The needs...
You feed your wants, your sight.
Pardon?
You put it really nicely. You said something like, as you feed your wants, you lose sight.
Of the need, yes. Yeah. Like that. That's right. Mm.